I'm a skeptical person.
I'm a sucker for a great smile.
I was shocked too. It's not the typical way that I like to date a man.
No.
You know, I'm just trying to find love. Least favorite part was living in a house full of women. I'm ready to find love, find a husband.
The perfect word is
Rachel!
Hello, Internet.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to 25 to Life, right?
This is always my favorite part of the season, when stuff actually starts to happen.
Wow, stuff happened very early
very
this
quickly. Very quickly. This is how season 9 gets lit.
Wow, we're off to a good start.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what could happen after this to sustain it.
I don't know. Probably another to be continued, because we didn't have a rose ceremony tonight. I am pissed. Pissed.
I hate
when the show does this, because, like, here's the thing, guys. I run a bracket at my job, and in order for the bracket to be successful, people need to get kicked off the show. And if people don't get kicked off the show, the bracket cannot be run functionally. And especially ABC, because you have a fantasy league of your own. Wouldn't you think it would be beneficial for people to play, I don't know, week to week? Do you think?
Yeah, more importantly, our show, when we're doing the layout for the week, we start with the intro, and then immediately after that, end of the road,
and
every week.
And another thing.
How are we going to do the end of the road if nobody's going home?
And you know what? When you get off one rose ceremony, you get off a second rose ceremony.
Stop saying get off.
And you get off a third rose ceremony until there are no more rose ceremonies, or you're getting off like 4 times in one episode.
That's too much.
Are
it's
you
physically
sure?
impossible.
Or is this my basketball IQ?
I don't know.
I got to get off a shot.
The people from Guinness would have to get back to us, but I would have to say that's physically impossible.
To get off 4 times? That's not true.
It's an hour and 20-minute show.
You could do it.
Are you counting the nap you take in the middle of that?
Oh, honey, you're not doing it right.
Yeah. you know, so how about this? So before we go any further, I had an incident in the off season that I wanted to talk about.
Would you call it an incident, or would you call it more so the joy of your life?
It was, you know what? Let me just explain what it was. So Taylor and I were in Ohio visiting for a friend's wedding, and also doing some final wedding stuff for our own.
For our own, yeah.
Right. And I received a call from a friend of a friend. Anyway,
a fan.
I received a call from a fan of the show,
mm-hmm.
Meg and her husband Nick, apparently listen to our show all the time. Meg and I have never met, but she called me.
And they're in Chicago, right?
They're in Chicago.
Okay.
She called me on my phone, and we had this conversation, and she was like, I remember hearing, I can't believe that I'm, like, listening, I can't believe that this is happening.
Oh my god!
And I distinctly, what I said
like
immediately.
Like Justin Bieber?
Kind of. Yeah.
Or more like Scott Disick.
Like, what I do is art. And so,
sure.
What I said back was, trust me, I can't believe this is happening either.
I can't believe that we found somebody that is so thrilled. We have 7 reviews on iTunes from people we don't know.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, so I guess the moral of the story is, get in touch with... Wait, number one, the moral of the story is, Meg, thank you. That felt... great.
Thank you so much, Meg. We love you.
I feel like
And your husband, because he encourages your
an
behavior.
Enabler. An enabler yep. of a positive behavior.
It really is.
I felt so wonderful. I received a call from somebody who thought I was something.
He is glowing. This man is glowing.
Somebody
right
I've
now.
Never met who thought I was something.
Wow.
This is something.
I mean, this is something your Mensa card cannot buy you.
Listen, you brought it up. I didn't bring it up. I don't like to bring that conversation up.
Yeah. Okay.
No. So
I'm in Mensa with Gina Davis. Sure, you don't like to bring it up.
So the first line of the conversation goes, "Ah, yeah, I'm in Mensa." The second line of the conversation always goes, "Oh yeah, so you're smarter than me," or "Say something smart." Like, no.
How
listen,
do you follow that up?
You can't. It's a dead end conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I bet it is for you.
Anyway, I'm smart. You think I can figure out something to say? Anyway, that's it. I just wanted to relive that story and remind all of you. You know, you can leave comments or, like, get in touch with us. We like hearing feedback about our show.
We love feedback. Feedback from our friends.
Yeah, preferably positive feedback.
No, I mean, live your truth, you know? We can't stop you from feeling how you want to feel. So, on to this week's episode. Lots of really interesting and good things happened this week. First of all, I'd like to say something that might be a controversial opinion before we get into anything else.
We should have a controversial opinion buzzer or something.
Just what could it be?
Know. I don't know.
Maybe it's the Law and Order gong. Maybe we bring that back.
Maybe, but I feel like that's going to happen when, like, when Rachel lawyers somebody hard.
Which she did tonight.
Which she did tonight.
A little too on the nose, guys.
Dramario!
Is Lucas hot?
Wait a minute. Do you know which one is Lucas?
Unfortunately, yes. Maybe, as sometimes men are wont to do. I think Lucas caught an angle with me tonight, and I was pretty shook up.
You can't just go around saying anybody who catches an angle is hot.
I know. I mean, yes, you can. That actually works like that.
No.
You know, well, sometimes... But guys, take this with a grain of salt, because sometimes I probably once every 6 weeks or once every, like, 4 months or something like that, between 6 weeks to 4 months, I ask someone, regardless of who it is, it might be Adam, it might be a friend of mine.
She asked me if Ed Sheeran was hot.
That is exactly what I was getting ready to say.
Ed Sheeran.
Sometimes people can catch an angle. I saw him in that music video and he had been working out, and but it was the video was really dark.
Ed Sheeran.
The video was really dark.
The ghost of music future.
I had no idea. And then he got that lion tattoo and I said, oh no. He's not.
No,
hot.
See, when you're hot, you don't have to catch an angle. You always have the angle. When you catch an angle, that's a sign that, like, hey, good for you, but you're not always like this.
Sure, sure. But, I mean, anybody can catch an angle.
Except hot people. They're just like that. They
sure.
have it.
I know it's a controversial opinion. I just thought I'd bring it up.
Speaking of a controversial opinion, I asked Taylor if we could record Wabooms tonight, just the two of us.
And I said that is grounds for divorce and I will cancel the wedding if we did that tonight. So,
I also,
no thank you.
I also opened the door to inviting guest Wabooms, listeners to submit their own Waboom to us, for us to place over the top of our swear words.
Absolutely not.
I think you're missing the boat here.
No, I'm not.
Like Ed Sheeran's attractiveness, I think you're way off.
I only did that 4 months ago. And that was literally the third time that I had done it in total, okay?
It's like on our calendar in the kitchen. Taylor asked about Ed Sheeran's hotness. Time three. It's like three little tick marks on it.
It'll probably be in the end of July when I ask it again, just so that you know.
Like the moon. Phases of the moon.
Yes.
Right. Let's start talking about the actual show.
Okay, so we start with group date number one, where we have... not as many guys as the second group date. We have Lucas, Iggy, Kenny, Jonathan, Jack Stone, Fred, Blake, and Dean all on this date. Now, this is the husband material date where,
right.
color me surprised, another pair of Rachel's quote-unquote friends, Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher, show up.
Yeah, so this is like a great idea for a date with a whole bunch of guys who really suck.
Yes! Oh, God.
So there's this cool thing, it's like obstacle course. Like, there's always an obstacle course kind of date thing. But it's like, this one's really fun. You got a baby Bjorn, you got unclogging the drain twice.
Yeah!
You know, these guys had to do some things. There was a track involved, which I appreciated.
You appreciate a track.
So these guys had to do this thing where it's like, go through, like, standard
dad
tasks.
The chores of being a father and a husband. Adam, what's your favorite chore of being a father and a husband? Not that you're a father!
I am not a father.
No.
Nor technically a husband.
Well, what would your favorite chore be if you were a father or a husband?
It depends. If we have a girl, it's going to be hair braiding.
Oh, cute.
Right?
Cute. You have the, you know, smallest of hands to have the appropriate dexterity.
I can really get in there.
Can really get in there with that.
I have the most miniature of hands. So I can really get in there. You know, that's mm-hmm. something she's not going to get from most dads.
And, you know, a child's hair is very fine and can be challenging to manipulate.
I have the sensitivity for this.
You do.
I do. So we have a girl that. If we have a boy, I don't know. I don't know what my favorite chore is.
Rocks? Is
rocks?
That what boys do? I
is
don't
rocks
know.
A chore?
I don't know. I didn't live with boys. I don't know. Is that a boy chore? Playing with rocks?
I really like to do laundry. I think that's something I do well.
You know what? You do laundry well.
I laundered all of my items tonight, actually, during the show. I'm wearing freshly washed jeans as we speak, as we record this podcast.
He's stretching them out.
The most laundered.
So we get to this date, and there's a lot of dynamics. One of the things that I want to talk about is because Rachel is just a gem, and because she is just a delightful person, you can read so easily on her face and in her body language when she is not into something. This doesn't fake anything for nobody. Now, when we've seen other bachelorettes, you can tell that they've kind of entertained some of the guys because they didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And everybody's so sensitive. And oh my God, we're millennials. Everybody gets a trophy. No. Rachel Lindsay is not prescribing to that sort of behavior. You could clearly tell that when Lucas picked her up, she was, like, not here for it. When he won the challenge and he tried to go in for a kiss on her cheek, she was not happy about it.
Yeah, so there were, like, what, 8 people on this? 7 people on this date? Whatever. There were a lot of people, and she only gave any play physically to Dean and Kenny. The only two guys who had any chance at surviving.
And it was very clear that once we got to the evening of the date, and I love how she said this, she said very clearly, I was really disappointed with the quality of the guys and what they were bringing to me tonight. I was like, oh, well, she was not having it.
So like, we still have 23 people left at the beginning
of
the date.
But even still, they must have put the worst guys on one date together.
No, I think she put them on there because she was just like, listen, I'd rather have one good date, a group date, and then just whatever. Just give me like 2 winners and then everybody else is just out.
Honey, and I'm going to say this as I said last week. I just think it's so cute that you think Rachel sometimes picks who goes on these dates.
She picks the one-on-one date. She said she did.
I know, but babe, this is a group date. You're an idiot. That didn't happen like that, okay?
I love you so dearly.
I love you too. So we get to the evening part of the date. She is physically spent with everybody else, and in walks Dean. And Dean is just a delight. And maybe I think he looks like Grant Gustin because I was watching the season finale of The Flash today.
You know, not all white people look the same.
Are you sure?
I have a twin brother. I don't even look like him.
Are you sure?
Or do I?
Are you sure?
Do you know which one I am?
You're Anthony, right?
Yeah, they nailed it.
Okay. Dean was just really giving it to me tonight. And I know we are still very upset about what he said, but Rachel pretty much cleared it up for everybody tonight. She said, you know, made it kind of playful, but made it very clear what the expectations were when it comes to sort of relaying those stereotypes when it comes to being in an interracial relationship.
I think she knows the producers made him say it, so she'll cut him slack.
I also think she knows the producers made him say
that. Look who's bringing up the producers this time.
Finally!
It's me.
Finally. So Dean had a really great date, and then also Kenny had a really nice date because this was his wheelhouse. Yeah. Talking about the husband material challenge, like changing baby's diapers, and he started to glow when he talked about his daughter, Mackenzie.
Yeah. Dean and Kenny are the only two guys in this date. There are like 8 of them, but there are only 2 who really matter. Lucas is on it. Like, he technically...
What a night. No, like, Lucas was not on the date. He was so drunk, he couldn't even put sentences together.
He was drunk at the end. That's very true. But he's technically on it. He technically won it. It literally doesn't mean anything because she got to the end of it. And she could have been, if she was feeling it, she could have been like, listen, you won this date, so let's go away for a while.
Oh.
But instead, I was, like, really shimmying my shoulders hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell, but the seasoned listeners, I think, will notice.
You can hear it.
They'll notice the vibration in my voice when I'm shimmying like that. She could have been like that. Instead, she was just like, yeah, I'll talk to you first. And then she talked to everybody else. So,
to get it out of the way.
So, in effect,
so that she would know that she would not have to talk to him again during the night. So, Kenny was really great and like a breath of fresh air. Clearly, you know, I don't know if she has any sexual chemistry with Kenny. I think Kenny is a really good friend. Meanwhile, she had an interesting interaction with Fred, I think.
Stop trying to make Fred happen,
oh,
Taylor.
Come on.
She already made up her mind. He's out. You
really
said it yourself. She doesn't entertain guys who don't have a chance. Fred has no chance.
I really like Fred.
It doesn't matter who you like. It matters who I like. Listen to my power rankings.
Well, and then the thing that she said is that, you know, she went to a a camp. There were not very many African-American children in this camp, and Fred was one of them, and Fred did not make a good impression on her. And clearly, as a camp counselor, that means that she was probably not the only person that felt that Fred was not here at camp for the right reasons.
Also, that's a weird relationship to try to, like, rekindle sexually.
Right. It's you like, know? We were children, but now I love you.
Yeah. Like, hey, we went to college together in the same dorm. I'm like, okay, sure, you can pick that up again.
I get that.
You were my camp counselor and you hated me?
And I was, and you were in eighth grade and I was in third grade? Sick.
That doesn't work like that.
So we get to the end of the day. Dean gets the rose. Literally, I wrote, boom, cute. I'm happy for it.
I wrote Dean Rose and circled it.
Dean is a babe. And I think I slept on him probably because I was angry about what the producers made him say.
I think I have Dean in like third place in my fantasy and I feel very strongly about it.
Okay. Really nice.
He's got something.
So
before we go on, I want to bring something up here.
Okay.
That this happens every season. And I was having a discussion with my friend Dave about this. Every season, there's one guy or girl, one contestant who is way out of line, and there's always, like, one person among the crew who just now makes it their mission to torpedo that person, right? So this is what's happening with Blakey and Lucas. Like, Lucas, whatever. He's on this show to sell t-shirts. He doesn't really care. He, like an idiot, he doesn't even own Waboom.com. It's available.
Did you check?
I did. He owns LucasYancey.com.
What an idiot. Buy Waboom.com.
I went to Waboom.com today and was like, this site is not currently paid for. I was like, oh my God.
That's marketing
101. It costs $13 to buy a domain for a year.
You know what? We should buy it. We should buy it right now and then see.
No, somebody did it and they're taking off. I wish I would have thought. I wish we could have seen this on East Coast time instead of on this dumb delay that ABC makes us do, because we could have bought Waboom.com.
Well, we've already had the conversation about live TV and event television and how it's ridiculous that we're watching things on time zone to even begin with.
I was spelling it like they spell it for his job title, not spelling it like he suggests spelling it with three A's and four O's.
Oh.
Interesting, right? Anyway.
Something to think about.
Anyway, so Blakey is making a move to just destroy Lucas.
And let's put destroy in quotes. And let's also say we have never seen anybody this early try to use their percent for somebody else. I mean, what a waste of time.
No, Blakey just forfeiting his percent.
What a waste of time.
Giving all of his percent to Lucas.
No.
So, like, Lucas can't win.
And it's not even worth it. Because it's like, Lucas isn't even charming in his own right, where Rachel would feel like, oh yeah, this is a nice guy. Her body language is so turned off by him, where I feel like her vagina just shrivels up.
No, if it was the guy that she likes, when he won, she would have been like,
it's great. A tumbleweed down there.
Great, date's over, so now you and I get to go make out by ourselves. Like, that's what she would have done if he won.
Exactly.
And she was actually...
And she did not
do
that.
So anyway, so here's the theory. What I explained to Dave, I said, listen, you come on The Bachelor and it's competitive, right?
Yeah.
And like, keep in mind...
It's a game. These are men.
I have a history of like competitive race running, right? Racing?
You always talk about track like it's like, you know... So, a real game.
So there's a thing. Like, there are little races where you run and you're like, whatever, nobody's really fast in this. And then there's other races where you get in it and you're like, wow, there are 30 people in this race and I know I'm not going to win.
Are you talking about cross country now?
Yeah, or track.
Oh, God.
You know, the long races, they run more than just eight guys in the track. So anyway, you get in a big race and it's competitive and you look around and you go, there's no way I'm going to win this. And at some point you just decide, wait a minute, how about this? I just will try not to lose, which is exhausting to the point that it forces you to lose. And this is what's happening with Blakey. Blakey is focusing all his attention on just beating Lucas because there's no chance for him to win the whole thing, and it's going to backfire.
I'm going to say something also. That implies...
People have not run races like I have.
Also true.
Nobody is sitting there nodding along going, yeah, I get it.
Cross country, totally. That implies that Blake ever did have a chance or was such a strong contender among some of the other gentlemen that are on this show that he would have been considered a front runner.
No, not even that. I mean, he realizes he can't win. Everyone realizes he can't win. That's why he's trying to pile on.
There are literally 20 guys on this show right now that can't win. I mean, more so than any other season, I think. And I know I say that every year. Girl! Speaking of Peter. Huh. Sorry. You know, I had that swoon for Brian last week. I take all of that back.
You idiot.
My bad. I take all of that back and transfer it over to Peter. Because meanwhile, and maybe we'll get to this later, but I think I want to bring it up now. Brian has cheek implants, I think.
It's almost like somebody in this room who maybe co-hosts this show with you was telling you that the Brian thing was a mistake, nay, a week ago.
I never said that. It's
on tape.
I never said I was
into
Brian.
It's literally on tape.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't say you were into Brian?
That wasn't me.
You melted into a puddle when I said Brian.
That wasn't me.
You melted into just a puddle with outstanding nipples.
I don't know.
You did.
I don't know her. I just don't know her.
Somebody please review the game tape.
Let's talk about Peter's one-on-one date. Actually, Peter's two-on-one date with Rachel's dog, Copper. Guys, best in show.
So,
best
Copper's great.
In show.
Do more bachelors and bachelorettes have dogs and they just don't get them on TV?
Probably.
What a mistake.
Huge mistake.
Put the dogs on TV.
Copper is a gem. Let me tell you something. This animal.
This person. This funny
this
person.
This small, funny person. Not only has an injury that is both hilarious and also...
He has such a serious, funny injury.
Serious, funny injury where you're like, oh my God. What happened to Copper?
Is that dog wearing a cast?
Is that dog wearing a cast?
And he is.
Also,
yes, he
was
is.
The cast blue when we first met Copper and now it is black?
No, they put a bag on it so because of the water.
Oh, so he could swim. Oh, thank you so much. Copper is just the sweetest. I love him. He's so sweet.
The problem with Peter's one-on-one date is that, like all good one-on-one dates, nothing happens. You see these two people and you're like, well, yeah, obviously they get
they
along.
They should be together.
That's it. Nothing actually happens.
No. Okay, so during the day, Peter and our sweet girl, Rachel, head to Palm Springs for Barkfest, which is this basically huge dog party where they have food and pool party activities and all kinds of fun stuff. And this sounds like an amazing event for somebody who is not allergic to animals, a.k.a. Adam.
I feel like they could have come up with a better name than Barkfest.
Are you an idiot? Everything that's related to dogs is named Bark Something or Dog Something. This was perfect.
Sorry.
Yeah. There was a corgi.
I apologize.
There was a corgi in the pool in a float with glasses. Are you kidding me? Are you joking?
A dog's wearing glasses is...
hysterical.
Just, like, in the history of jokes, it's the funniest thing that's ever happened.
No.
Dogs wearing glasses.
The funniest thing that's ever happened is a dog covered in a blanket.
I would like to get a dog named Ruggles, who we get glasses for him, and then I make a new Instagram handle called Ruggles Reads, and it's just Ruggles wearing glasses, sitting in front of a book in like a couch or something, you know, something luxurious where you could read.
Sure, probably like a big chair.
And he's just reading all these books.
Sure.
And that's it. Ruggles Reads.
What's his favorite book?
I don't know. He seems, maybe not like the deep stuff. Maybe something like... Something, like, pretty popular, like Cavalier and Clay, or something that's, like Michael Chabon, maybe.
Why don't you name something people know when you talk about popular
Everyone
books?
Knows about Cavalier and Clay.
Much like everybody knows about Running Cross Country?
Everyone does. It's super popular.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, wait, I mean, that's, sorry, that's where I'm gonna go.
Okay. So later on in the
evening... I mean, he's not gonna, like Kafka or something. That's, I mean, he's a dog at the end of the day.
Sure. So later on in the evening, we spend some time with Peter one-on-one. And here are the things that I would like to discuss. One, Peter is a silver fox. What color is his hair?
Is he treating it, do you think?
No.
It's just like that?
I think he's an early gray like Max Joseph from Catfish.
Oh, put it back in your pants,
Taylor I can't help it. Meanwhile... He talks about being from Wisconsin. He talks about when he found out that he was going to be on the show and how supportive and cute his dad was about being on the show. He also talks about how both he and Rachel have a gap tooth.
They didn't need to talk about that. It was pretty obvious.
The cutest. How both of their families were like, no, you're not going to get rid of the gap tooth. Like, this is who you are. This is who you are as a person.
Taylor had a gap tooth as a child.
I did.
And she corrected it.
It did.
Which I appreciate. I like it the way it is.
Yeah, because this is all you've ever known.
This is beautiful.
How would you know me with a gap tooth? And you know, and everybody in my family has a gap, and it's beautiful, and it's really character building, Rachel had said.
I'm about to be in your family. I don't have a gap.
I know, but our children definitely will. It is a strong gene. My mother could not stop that one from happening. She tried her damnedest.
They're
going to
have braces then, our kids.
They sure will.
And glasses. There's no way they can see straight.
They won't be able to see straight, and their teeth will be coming out of their mouth like a T-Rex.
That's it. Our kids, 5'2".
All teeth.
You know, all teeth.
All teeth and blind.
So this date, whatever.
No, whatever. We're not finished. Meanwhile, Peter and Rachel discuss about their past relationships, both of them going to see a relationship therapist. I mean, if they couldn't be better matched for each other. They're the same age. They're the same, like, comfort level. They make each other laugh. Peter is so into her. He's genuine. He's easy. He's got that deep voice. Like, they're the same person. Also, she had on a really cute dress. I loved it. What a great date.
Now it's my turn.
Fine.
So here's what I'm going to say about this date, and exclusively this date, and definitely not our podcast.
Oh.
People in Love are boring to watch.
Okay.
It's not like these other dates where it's like, oh man, sparks are like not sparks like romance sparks. Sparks like fighting sparks. They're not like finding anything out about it. They're just hanging out.
Yeah, well, this is the first date. They're not talking about anything deep or serious. They're talking about past relationships. There is no point where, you know, they have to have a challenging or difficult conversation anytime soon. And, you know, Peter probably won't get a date next week, and he's going to feel some kind of way about that. And then he's going to be on a group date the following week, and then he's going to be like, oh my God, I missed you too. Oh my God, I missed you too.
Get into it. Drama.
I mean, that's how it's going to go. Yes, boring people in
no,
love.
No, here's what's
going to
happen. Peter's going to show up. This is the first one-on-one date. She picked him. That's very noticeable. That's,
hello.
You know, she picked him. He goes on it. They do well. And now he's just going to be locked into the driver's seat. And she's going to, like, he's going to basically disappear from TV for a while.
While
everybody else fights around themselves about who's going to get second.
Right.
And Peter's just going to be like, listen,
I got it.
I'm winning, so I don't have to do anything.
Right.
And he's true. It's right.
The other thing that I will mention is that among everything else that Rachel is, you know, known for being confident and all this kind of stuff, you know, she's very into the traditional roles of being courted and a guy making the first move. And, you know, that was clear with her, you know, with her giving the rose to Dean and then also giving the rose to Peter on this date. I mean, I wouldn't say he took charge, but he felt really comfortable with her. And I mean, the fact that the dog just loved him, my goodness, that goes a long way.
I think she definitely loves it when the guys make the move and kiss her,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
She is into that. Even when it's just anybody, I think she's just like, oh yeah, first move, all right.
Yeah, pressure's off me. I don't need to do anything.
It's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah. Yeah, so to be clear, Taylor kissed me before I kissed her.
I sure did!
Also, to be clear, we were in a wildly different circumstance. We were like best friends, and it was like, who's going to try to take
people
this to the next
story.
Level?
You don't need to tell them again.
But
they
these people aren't
anymore.
Like it. It's like if they kiss
they
her.
They don't care anymore.
If they kiss her and she's not into it, they just never see each other again, and that's the end of it. They didn't lose anything.
Yeah, that's their fault for going on a reality show. Duh.
No,
okay.
I'm saying we were different.
So we get to the next group date, which, guys, is legendary.
So on this group date, they play basketball. Yay!
But who are they playing basketball with, Adam?
So, funny that you bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
On the very first, the group date.
Yes.
They got in an airplane.
Yeah.
An airplane. On the date immediately after, we have an appearance from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Are you seeing where this is? Surely you're seeing where this is going.
I can see where this is going. And don't call me Shirley.
I put that together instantly. Anyway, there's nothing to put together.
Guys, let's
go watch Airplane.
Kareem was in Airplane. It was a masterpiece.
So Kareem's on the show. And Kareem is like, you know, in all reality, is probably the second best basketball player who has ever lived.
Ever. Ever. And, like, smarter than anybody who set foot on this planet.
He's, like, super friendly and, like, nice and polite and everything.
And, like, has an IQ of 600.
He's, like, he is really good at basketball.
Whenever he plays on Jeopardy, he wins. All the time.
So they play this game, and it's kind of a joke. It's like 14-17 at halftime, like a YMCA game, like some Little League game or something.
Sure. And so on the date is on the white team, Lee, Eric, Adam, Will, and then Alex. On the purple team, DeMario, Diggy, Jamie, Josiah, and Matt.
So they play this, like, five-on-five basketball game. Right. It's in this little high school. Things all these people physical. Are here.
Now, mind you, Rachel has played played basketball growing up before, so she's got some ups. It's all very cute, her wearing her J's. It's just adorable.
So during the game,
uh-huh.
we see nothing from anybody except DeMario.
Right. DeMario has had a lot of PT this episode in general, talking about his connection with Rachel and how confident he is about the experience. And
he can dunk.
He can dunk, what he wants to get out of it. Like, all of these things are, you know, big time for DeMario. So we're like, okay, maybe this could be something. We're starting to like him. We're starting to get more familiar. And come to find out, DeMario has a weakness.
Drama. Rio.
With WT girls who might be from the outskirts of Los Angeles.
And have bad tattoos.
And have terrible tattoos.
So the game's over. They all go in. Like, actually, it's kind of surprising. They play, like, a physical, tough, like, game, and nobody gets in a fight or anything.
No, and no one tears their ACL either, which
yeah,
is...
That always happens.
Always happens. Someone always tears their ACL.
It always happens. Somebody goes to the hospital for, like, the most ridiculous
thing. Someone tore their ACL on RuPaul's Drag Race this season, and you mean to tell me nobody tore their ACL on The Bachelorette?
Whoa,
that's
there's
ridiculous.
Like 10 episodes left.
You're right.
So no fights, no drama, no anything, like... If they all go backstage or they go into the locker room, whatever, and she's like, I want to see DeMario. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, like, he probably just won this date.
And meanwhile, can I just say, before the NBA Finals jump off later this week, I want to say, fuck LeBron James. Please don't ask me about him. Just because I'm from Ohio doesn't mean I'm a sheep who is joining the Legion of Goons that are excited about the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I will say another thing. Those people burned his jerseys in the street. How dare you? The man's on steroids. He sucks.
Obviously, he's on steroids.
He sucks, and he's the worst. Go Warriors.
Yeah.
Anyway, so some woman...
She doesn't even go here.
...named Lexi shows up.
Some woman.
And DeMario walks in and is playing the fool like, who is this? I don't know what's going on. And Rachel turns it on. And...
Let's explain who this woman is.
Everything. Right.
So,
right.
If in case you're watching, you don't like watch the show, and you're listening to us. So this woman walks in off the street, and she's like, "Rachel, hey, let me talk to you. I am currently dating this guy. Or at least I thought I was. Turns out he's on your show. It's DeMario.
Right. And right? Rachel's like, "Hold up. What?
No. Rachel's like, "Listen, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
Let's get him out here.
So and
let's get him out here and hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
He is the least convincing person in the history of the universe. Oh, he's like, who is this? And she's like, what do you mean, who is this? Like,
right.
I'm like, you have the keys to my apartment. He's like, the keys? I don't have the keys.
I mailed them to you.
Really?
No, girl.
And then she's like, how about you just read these text messages? And like, that was kind of the end of it.
Right.
DeMario was like floundering around for a while. Like,
and
listen,
Rachel,
we were on again, off again.
Rachel was here like, give me a yes or no question. You cannot just say that, like, some crazy girl's trying to find you. No. I don't believe in that. Tell me yes or no. Did you cut off contact with her? Did you break up with her? I want answers. He's like, well, I don't mean, and I feel like, and I want to, and
the thing about that is that it was very unconvincing.
No.
So it's pretty clear what DeMario is doing. He's one of these guys out here who's like, listen, I was dating somebody else, but then my application for The Bachelorette got accepted. And so now I'm going to go on that and try to find a celebrity instead.
Right. And, I mean, the fact that he was only, quote unquote, on the show for 2 weeks, you know, does not bode well. And the fact that I went online while the show was still on and Glamour.com already had a one-on-one interview with him he was not here for the right reasons, guys. I said it.
No, I mean, whatever. Like, if you're just dating somebody until somebody better comes along or until some celebrity appearance comes along.
Right.
Yeah, you're not really dating.
I mean, the crime on this is really the ghosting part. Like, if there is anything that I can tell any of the men that listen to the show or any of the women that are listening to the show that might be in a relationship type situation, don't ghost anybody. Like
a relationship type situation?
Yeah.
You can just say in a relationship.
No, because, you know, kids these days don't really do that.
The lines aren't very clear. The line is
blurred. Don't ghost anybody. That's like super f***ed up. Like, tell somebody that you're not into it and go and move on. Okay? You know? Like, if that had happened to you, if you had been ghosted, would you want that to happen to you? No, you wouldn't.
This is your advice?
Give somebody the respect they deserve.
Your advice isn't don't leave your girlfriend to go on reality dating
shows? No, my advice is if it's not working out and you don't like this person, break up with them.
Tell them that you're leaving them to go date, to be on a reality dating show.
Yes, yes. Don't just, like, not show up. Anyway. So
this is important because the entire game, she was, like, feeling him. Yes. She was like, listen, of all these guys, DeMario is the one. And not like all these guys, all 23 of them, all of them on this date. She's like, he's the one who's impressing me. And turns out he's the one who is unavailable and who has, like, committed the sin, like, the bachelorette sin.
And the thing that I really want to talk about is how Rachel handled this. She was so upset and so angry. I mean, it probably took her every ounce within her body to say, don't f*** with me. I'll kill you with my bare hands. And she almost said it. She refused Chris Harrison's soothing, which is pretty bold for a bachelorette in her second week in this experience. And she came and talked to the guys right after and she said, let me tell you what happened. I'm really upset. I'm upset to tears. And let me tell you what not to do. Do not lie to me and don't embarrass me. That was magical. Now, can you imagine any other bachelorette who isn't a slut like Caitlyn coming into this experience and immediately having that happen to them and not just immediately burst into tears and not be able to say, here's what I'm not interested in, and this is why I'm mad. Don't f*** with me. I'll kill you. Anybody?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
No.
I mean, this is obvious. This is, like, the big challenge for her already.
Yeah.
She got no episodes in, and she already has it. Like, the one guy that she was really feeling is the one guy that obviously she has to let go in the middle of the date. Like,
because a goon.
She had basically, like, picked him as the one who was attracting her this date, and then now she can't even have him. Like, number one, that sucks.
Right. Which, of course, puts a damper on the evening. So the rest of the guys...
Typical woman. Right. She has a radar for the one worst guy. And she goes, that guy, that's the one.
She knows what she likes.
Typical woman.
So she gets to the end of the evening and the guys are basically spending most of the night trying to comfort her. Will comes in, Eric comes in talking about love languages, which I know Adam will get to in just a second. And then everyone's pretty much talking about DeMario and nothing else. And Josiah comes in and really is a comfort to her. And he ends up winning the rose for this evening. I had something else I would like to say about this experience. So you see a lot of shots of Eric, Josiah, and Diggy, like, kind of hanging out with each other and bagging on people and talking to and being amazing. I would just basically watch a show of the three of them hanging out. I enjoy them immensely.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Yep.
Love languages are the waboom of relationships.
Oh, come on. Adam, what's your love language?
All of them.
That's not true.
You know why? Because I'm in love with somebody. Mm. All of them.
Mine?
Gifts, touching, physical time, praise. All of them. I do all of them.
Mine are quality time and active service. Rachel's are quality time and physical touch. Don't physically touch me.
No, it's a weird, like, quantifiable thing that isn't quantifiable. And also,
acts of service are quantifiable, friend.
That's what I'm saying. You can't quantify how much you're in love with somebody. Like, that's or
yeah, you can.
The way you express it.
Yeah, you can.
No, number one, you can't.
If you dust the TV four times, make the bed three times, and then wash the dishes one good time after I made a mess in the kitchen and also bought me flowers, acts of service. Yay.
Your housekeeper and gifts there also. See, it's all, of all, they all overlap. Second of all, if you're in love with somebody, you do all of them. And third of all, this is my biggest gripe about the love languages. Is it how you love other people or how you see other people love you?
All of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's
it is all of it. It's just one big nebulous cloud.
It is how you receive gifts and it is how you share gifts with people. Like, for example, a friend of mine, her love language is gifts. She knows that she might not get gifts from people, but she likes to give gifts because she knows that she will get love and energy and kindness and peace and great things by giving those gifts. It's a love language.
And there's only 5 of them.
Yes.
No more than that?
No. Everything can be put into a category.
It sounds like whoever is in charge of marketing this book has gotten to you.
Well, then I will give you Oprah Winfrey's number so you can call her and tell her how upset you are about this.
Yeah, I will.
That's who did the marketing
for this.
It's
not like a scientific study or anything. It's like Mr. Phil.
How dare you disrespect Oprah? You know what happened to the last
person? Oh, I did it twice there.
You know what happened to the last person that disrespected Oprah?
Probably died.
Yeah. What was the last time you heard about Nate Parker? You haven't, have you?
No, I haven't.
Exactly. So Josiah gets the rose at the end of the evening, and now we head to the cocktail party, where basically everybody's got this sort of dark cloud hanging over them because of DeMario. DeMario has been whisked away and is no longer to be seen ever again.
Except they whisked him right back to the mansion.
Right, and then he shows up in the evening. He's like, hey, I just want to talk to Rachel, talk to everybody. Everybody's like, what? DeMario's here? What? Meanwhile, I finally realize that Brian has cheek implants, and now I'm in love with Peter and no longer Brian. Sorry about last week.
Typical woman.
What?
No, I'm just going
to... He sparked a fire in me that I clearly was missing.
And now you have lost it again?
No, I found it.
Oh, Peter.
And now I'm good.
Great. Good for you. Who's it going to be next week? Going to be Diggy?
I think it's
Diggy. Oh my God!
I think it's Diggy!
He's so great. So that's it. Like, we're at this point where all the guys, like, it makes them look good to say that DeMario is bad, so they're all going to jump on it. And, like, she's in a particularly kind of vulnerable state, so nobody's even, like, bothering, like, they're all treading very lightly with her and being like, listen, it's all about you. You're the most important person. You know, they're not trying to do anything else.
And can I also just say, God, that dress she had on tonight was just ferocious. Amazing. They have been dressing her exceptionally well this season, and I don't know if it's because of her body or if it's because of, you know, her just being amazing, and it also seems like she did not lose any extra weight.
I don't know about that. I think she has certainly lost some extra weight.
I don't think she's lost some weight. Maybe she toned up.
I don't think she had a lot. I mean, none of these women have a lot of weight to lose.
Dez lost a bunch of weight.
Oh, no, please. Dez was great the way she was.
Please. Okay, so let's get to our power rankings. Who is your number 4?
Will, who is yours?
No one.
What?
These guys have...
There's 3 winners, yeah.
No one has stepped up at this point. No one has any sort of sexual chemistry with her. No one has any sort of long-term anything that I could even see as an option.
Did you only rank 3 people?
I only ranked 3 people.
I bet you 2 of them are in mine.
I definitely agree.
Number 3 is Dean, for me.
My number 3 is Josiah. He had a great week. He got the rose this week. No. But I know that in the long term,
Josiah is
not... You're
looking at 3 guys and one of them is Josiah?
Josiah got the rose! I mean, come on, percentages!
He got the DeMario rebound rose. It doesn't even really count.
It counts. My number 2 is Dean. I like him.
I do too, for reasons I discussed 1 minute ago. No, I didn't say anything. I just said I liked him, actually. I didn't give any reasons.
Do you have any reasons to talk about Dean?
He did great. Seems like he's going to go a long time.
I spoke about Dean earlier this evening, and I would like to move on.
My number 2 is Peter, and I assume he is your number 1, so I will just let you go ahead and talk.
Oh, Peter. Peter and Rachel are basically the same person. They are made for each other. I really enjoy and adore them together. I'm sure later on when we get to the end of the show, we will have to have the discussion about the politics of who Rachel will be picking, but that is a longer conversation for a later date.
Just because two gap teeth people kiss doesn't make it any kind of magical. Just because we're like a minute away from a hyper whistle here doesn't make it like any more special.
I bet the sound it makes is like a dog whistle, so Copper can hear it.
My number one is Diggy.
Because... Oh, come on!
Oh, yeah, there it is.
You got on me for picking Josiah, and now you're going to put Diggy at number one?
I don't rank the guys that she likes. I rank the guys I like.
Meanwhile, Diggy had on two different pairs of glasses this week, which means he brought multiple pairs to show off his style and accoutrement.
Yeah, because he knows what I'm looking for.
Because Diggy is legendary, and he is the greatest.
I can't sit here every season and go, give us people who wear glasses, give us people who wear glasses. And then somebody shows up wearing glasses. A second pair of glasses. And I just look past this. I can't do that.
Two different pairs of glasses, very clearly. He has a tortoiseshell pair and a clear pair. And God help us if he has a red pair.
And who knows what else?
Who knows what else? What a surprise. Tell us, Diggy.
I was hoping for some Horace Grant rec specs in that basketball game.
I would be looking for more of a Malcolm X style kind of glasses.
Diggy X kind of thing?
Nice.
That's it. Do you have any bold predictions? We're kind of at a weird spot.
Next week, we clearly see that Lee starts to rub some people the wrong way, and my bold prediction is that he is as racist as we once thought, because it seems like he's only coming after the black guys and nobody else.
I think Lee is going to be eliminated at the end of the second rose ceremony of next week.
Okay.
But I also think that, three people are going to sacrifice themselves, including Eric, to take him down.
I think also at the rose ceremony at the beginning of next week, she is basically going to light this thing up and wreck all these guys that are absolute nothings to her. Jonathan is gone. Iggy is gone. Blake E is gone. Lucas is gone.
Iggy sweats
so hard.
There is
no question about it. Some of those guys are just have crashed and burned.
Every time you see Iggy on TV, he is losing his mind. And you know the means he is losing it? He's sweating it out.
Question. Is Iggy sweatier than Josh Murray?
Oh, no, that's impossible.
Okay.
Josh Murray is Aquaman.
Ah, yes. Fabulous. Well, we'll see you guys next week. We love you. We miss you. And by God, I hope that we get back on track with the rose ceremony. But who knows? Bye.
Oh, you don't know?
I told you that.
I just like to keep it 100 and keep it real.
Great smile.
I know my mom.
I could actually have a ring on my finger. I've never had one before.
I just saw the shark.
This finger is ready.